It's our Week 15 NFL preview featuring the Bucks and Falcons, Bills and Patriots, Chargers and Chiefs, and more. Hi, welcome to the FTN Fantasy Shots and Tenier NFL podcast for Thursday, December 11th, 2025. I'm Aaron Schatz, the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy. He's Mike Tenier. You can read his Substack at miketenier.substack.com. We are here to preview a Week 15 with a lot of good games. Packers and Broncos, Lions and Rams. It's a double-header week, which means both networks have doubleheaders. With very good games in the 4 o'clock hour, 4 o'clock Eastern hour. Before that, we want to let you know that we're brought to you by Underdog. If you want to get a free month of the FTN GOAT subscription, we have worked with our friends at Underdog to set you up. For a limited time, when you sign up on Underdog with our link and code FTN, you play your first $5. You get $100 in bonus bets plus a free month of FTN GOAT on us. That is Stats Hub and DVOA and our fantasy projections with two top 10 fantasy projectors plus betting tools, all the stuff FTN has to offer. Remember, sign up on Underdog, play your first $5, and our marketing team will be on the lookout to hook you up with the code for the FTN GOAT subscription. Promo code FTN on Underdog. Terms apply. We'll start briefly with the Thursday night game, which is the 4-9 Falcons at the 7-6 Buccaneers. The Buccaneers make the playoffs 82% of the time with a win and 56% of the time with a loss. These teams are actually surprisingly close in DVOA.
That doesn't surprise me that much.
Basically, the Bucs are slightly better than the Falcons at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the Falcons are worse since Kirk Cousins became the quarterback. Their offense is 20th, but it would be 27th if we only measured the games with Cousins at quarterback. Now, these two teams met way back in week one. The Buccaneers won 23-20 on a touchdown pass to Amika Egbuka with a minute left. And Younghoe Koo was still on the Falcons at the time, and he missed a 44-yard field goal at the end.
That's before Younghoe Koo started tripping over his own feet while trying to attempt field goals for the Giants.
Yeah. Strong Falcons running game. They rank 23rd passing and 8th running against a stronger Bucs run defense. The Bucs are better against the run than the pass, but their defense has not been playing well. They're down to 23rd over the last 5 weeks.
In general, they have not been playing that well on either side of the ball. And while most of the injuries have been on the offensive side, you're seeing defensive lapses. Last week, for example, against the Saints, they couldn't contain Tyler Shuck, and they couldn't cover Chris Olave. These are problems that the Buccaneers don't normally have.
The Buccaneers are also 31st versus running backs as receivers. And in the first game, Bijan Robinson had 100 receiving yards and a touchdown.
Right. There was like a swing pass that like no one covered him or tried to tackle him in that game. Bijan, of course, is the number one with a bullet target for the Falcons offense.
Especially with no Drake London.
Drake London's been out for a couple weeks. Now Kyle Pitts is also on the injury report. So it's going to be a heavy dose of Bijan.
Although, on the other side, Mike Evans might be back.
Yes. He's questionable for tonight with a collarbone injury. Of course, he's working his way back. He's been out for weeks. Cade Otton, tight end, who they've been using a million different ways, doubtful knee injury. Chris Godwin and Jalen McMillan, questionable. I think we'll see Godwin. I don't know about McMillan. It really has been, to understand the Buccaneers offense, who's out there week to week, and that you get a better sense of things, especially because last couple of weeks, Egbuka has not been the guy he was in the first month.
The Otten one is interesting because the Falcons have a clear weakness. They are the worst defense in the league in the short middle area.
Mm-hmm. Otten territory.
That would be Otten territory normally, but I think that also would be Godwin territory.
Godwin territory, Sterling Shepard territory. Godwin territory. Let's leave it there.
The other thing is every Tampa Bay game, you always have to check how the opposing quarterback does against the blitz. And it's a small sample size this year, but Cousins against the blitz is about the same as Cousins overall, which is not as good as Cousins used to be.
Right, which is bad.
Quick, he's getting up there in age. Not to 44.
No, not a grandfather yet that we know of.
Kirk Cousins, not a grandfather yet.
Yes.
The line on this game is Buccaneers minus 4.5. Remember, our rule is do not bet on Falcons games ever.
Ever. If you want to play some props, obviously get Bijan into your lineups and everything, go ahead. But I am not making a pick about this game. I do not plan to be sober by the end of the first quarter.
And I'll say the system, the DVOA system, doesn't make a pick.
Good.
So, I mean, if I had to pick, I think I would pick the Falcons to cover, but, I mean, stay away from Falcons games.
But real quick, the Buccaneers' high chances of making the playoffs, that's the system's – that's their schedule and the system's, like, distrust of the Panthers, right?
Yes, the Panthers are really low in DVOA. Okay. Because they have a lot of close wins and then big losses.
Right, that makes sense.
Remember when we're live, we do take your questions and comments, and Todd Singer says, what do the numbers project for 1 month of a 44-year-old quarterback who hasn't played in 5 years? I'm looking for similarity scores. I don't know. The only thing I have to compare to myself is myself at 44, and I was putting out books.
George Blanda was kicking extra points. You got that going for you. You are looking, folks, at two non-grandfathers.
Yes. That's but true.
Right. Yes. The amount of gray and white and two non-grandfathers here talking about a grandfather who's going to be on the field for the Colts. We should have just done all Phillip Rivers today. You said we're not going to talk about Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, we're not going to do. In fact, I did not put the Colts-Seahawks game on our list of games to discuss because what is there to discuss? The Seahawks defense is amazing and no one knows what to expect from Phillip Rivers. I think Rivers is going to play. I think, to me, all the reporting sort of makes it clear they don't trust Riley Leonard and he's their guy.
You know, my system requires me to take the quarterback in his first start. I got a Shedeur Sanders win from the system. Now, again, that's with the points and I can't pull it up right now, but I'm assuming we're talking about a double digit spread and then some.
Oh, it's 13.5.
I think it's going to go to like 15.5 if we know for sure that it's Phillip Rivers. Although
Andrew Daly says, I can't even think of a comparison to this Rivers thing in another sport. Jordan was solid in spurts for the Wizards, but I think Jordan had only been retired for a couple of years when he came back for the Wizards, and he was younger than this. The only thing I can think of is Steve DeBerg when he was the quarterback's coach for Atlanta, I think.
Yes.
At age 45, and they were desperate for a quarterback at the end of the season, and he came off to play for them?
Yes, and that was a mess. And what you'll probably see is the most ridiculous get ball, throw ball. You think Aaron Rodgers is getting rid of the ball fast. Wait to see what Phillip Rivers does.
Oh, against that Seahawks defense? Oh, he plays also the Houston Texans defense in 3 weeks.
What is wrong with him? I know you got a lot of kids. You got to get out of the house. Go golfing!
Speaking of Rivers' past team, the Chargers at 9-4 are playing at the 6-7 Kansas City Chiefs. How weird is it to say that? This is the most important game for playoff odds. The Chargers are in 92% if they win and 65% if they lose. The Chiefs are in 19% if they win, and they are out if they lose this game.
Go, Chargers, go. Go, Chargers.
Chargers, of course, won 27-21 in week one in Brazil in a game that was kind of weird compared to the stats for the rest of the season. The Chargers killed the Chiefs with play action, and the Chiefs are the worst defense in the league against play action this year. Wow. But Herbert is only 23rd in DVOA on play action. It was mostly that game that he was good. And Mahomes kills zone, and the Chargers are fourth in the league in frequency of zone, but Mahomes only had 6.4 yards per play against zone in week one. In other words, Mahomes kills zone, except in week one against the Chargers, when he didn't.
Right. And, of course, that was a different Chiefs team in that they were, like, missing some of their current playmakers. Different Chargers team, they had Joe Alt at that point.
Yes, they had actual offensive tackle, at least one. It really is kind of amazing. When the Pipkins got hurt during the game, I was like, everyone in the AFC West except Denver has down to like their ninth offensive tackle.
Right, and Denver's got everybody healthy. One of their guards is hurt. But, yeah, they're down to their ninth guy. Here's the thing. Pipkins got hurt. They've reached the point they've reached like the sub replacement level, which whoever gets in there is no worse than the last guy. So it's like, yeah, we throw Bobby Hart out there and it's just Bobby Hart. We've kind of gotten used to it. They're using Penning as like the sixth lineman. Like they tried him at left tackle. Like this was a bad idea. So it's the usual suspect.
I think it's remarkable. I don't think people realize how mediocre the Chargers have been on offense this year, in part because of the offensive tackle issues. They are 21st, including 27th on first down.
Wow. And that's where they would pride themselves.
And the Chargers defense, by the way, is better against the run than the pass. The Chiefs defense is better against the run than the pass. The Chargers defense is better against the pass than the run. So we'll have to see whether the Chiefs can actually run the ball, which has been a problem for them this year. I think a lot of people, when they're identifying what the Chiefs need to do to get their offense back in the future, is build an actual under center run game, which they just don't have.
A normal run game, not this thing that's kind of like the waist pitch knuckleball that you throw on 0-2 or whatever. A couple of quick other injury notes. Trey Smith should be back for the Chiefs. That's going to help their line, but both tackles will be out again for the Chiefs. So it'll be all no tackle ball here. Justin Herbert was limited in practice, according to the team. His x-rays were clean for the most part. Which means that they were not, in fact, clean. But
yeah, for the most part doesn't mean clean.
No. If my room is clean for the most part, it means there's a mess somewhere in my room. Mahomes was on the injury report. He's probably fine. Trent McDuffie was practicing, so that's a big addition for the Chiefs. And Noah Gray could also be back. He's been out for a couple of weeks. Scary-looking concussion, I think, against the Cowboys. But he looks like he's on track to be back.
Interesting stat for the Chargers, by the way, thinking of Noah Gray and of Travis Kelce at last week and dropping passes. And the Chargers are only 30th in DVOA against tight ends, but they don't actually give up a lot of yards to tight ends because they don't give up a lot of targets. When they get targeted, it's inefficient. Like Dallas Goedert had some big catches against them.
Yes.
But they don't give up these huge like 70 or 80 yard games to tight ends the way that Cincinnati does, but who had the only receiving touchdown for the Chiefs back in week one? Travis Kelce.
And he'll be out there again this week.
And it was weird to see the story about him being like, you know, I don't know what's wrong this season and I don't know how to. He's been good.
Right.
Until those drops in the last game, Kelce has had a real rebound season. So it's weird to be like, oh yeah, Kelce's this problem. Kelce's this year, he's not the problem until last week.
It's an example of how many people kind of do the analysis without like looking at the game or the game book or the stat sheet or anything else and just kind of try and guess at what sounds right.
The line is Chiefs minus 4.5.
It was up to 5.5 when I looked
at it. Is it up to 5.5?
Right.
I'm going Chargers.
I'm going Chiefs. This is the back-to-the-wall game where they're going to blitz the lights out and they're just going to overwhelm that patchwork offensive line and going to force some mistakes. And they're going to stay.
Do they even need to blitz to overwhelm the patchwork offensive line?
Not really, but they sort of do because, you know, Karlaftis is like they don't really have the edge rusher. So they'll be using packages and things like that to get Hart and hit the Deculus and whoever else is playing tackle on a swivel. I think that's the Chiefs win.
I just feel like everything with the Chiefs is so stagnant. The fact that the line is more than a field goal
is interesting.
I'm like, yeah, they could cover, but it's not. I will admit, it's not. I think they're going to win, so I'll pick them to cover. I do think the Chiefs should be favored to win the game.
By the way, Chiefs are 6-1 in the last 7 meetings. But just 2-4-1 against the spread. The Chargers have a habit of keeping these games close and backdoor covering. So if at 4 and 5.5, you're in position for that kind of thing.
Yeah. The other big 1 o'clock game is the 9-4 Bills at the 11-2 Patriots. It's the most important game of the week because I'll be there.
Will you be driving through snow flurries to get there, though?
Apparently we are expecting a little bit of snow flurries and a lot of cold weather games this weekend. I'm going to play some unders because there's a lot of cold weather coming this weekend. Patriots win the division with a win.
Yeah, that's it.
If the Bills win, we have them winning the division 41% of the time because the Dolphins are frisky.
Yes, very frisky. Extremely frisky. Weirdly frisky.
So there's no guarantee that the Patriots are going to beat both the – if the Patriots beat the Jets and the Dolphins, they can lose to the Bills and Ravens and still win the division.
Right.
But there's no guarantee they're going to beat – I mean, the Jets feels very guaranteed. But there's no guarantee they're going to beat the Dolphins because the Dolphins are frisky right now. So they would like to have this. Now, of course, they won 23-20 in week five. And the Bills, the first thing I noticed is the Patriots run defense. So what was supposed to be strong about the Patriots, right? I've been like waving the flag about the schedule, the schedule, the schedule, the schedule. But Drake May really is that good.
Right.
And the other thing that really was that good was the run defense. Okay. And it's been declining. The Patriots' run defense has not been as good the last few weeks. It now ranks only 16th. They've allowed 4.8 yards per carry in the last four games, and the Bills go under center more now, and they hand off to James Cook, and James Cook could run the ball against them a good amount.
And you have right now the Bills have their tight ends back. As we saw last week, having those tight ends back, huge difference against the Bengals. Probably will have Spencer Brown back at right tackle. He expects to play, which puts them in position to be able to try and do two tight ends, even the extra linemen they use sometimes, and try to plow the ball down the field, unless Joe Brady has one of his moments and says, ooh, run defense declining, it's time to throw the ball.
Yes, I will point out the Patriots' pass defense is stronger in the middle than on the sides.
Right, which is where they
Gonzalez doesn't come out as well in the coverage DVOA as you would expect, and Carlton Davis I don't think has been as good as people expect.
I saw good numbers on him. It's hard with numbers, though, because they're always playing bad quarterbacks.
Because they're always playing. You have to adjust for the fact that they've played the easiest schedule of opposing quarterbacks. That's, again, with the schedule. Yes. May has played an easy schedule, but the defense has played a really easy schedule. Like
right.
May has played like the 30th schedule or something. Like mm-hmm. the defense has played like the 32nd schedule by like a lot.
Like the historic schedule on the other side.
The Patriots defense, by the way, is 32nd against wide receiver ones. Who is that? Keon Coleman? Who is that?
It's not Shakir's slotty guy, so they don't have one. Josh Palmer might be back, his sort of mysterious situation. But
I'll also point out the other, flip it around the other side, the Patriots running game, mm-hmm. right? Travion Henderson has a couple of explosive runs. Otherwise, that running game has been bad. Ramondre Stevenson is last in the league in DYAR.
And that's not fumbles.
And it's not just because of the fumbles. Okay. But the Bills' run defense is 30th. The Bills' run defense is bad.
Yes.
So it is definitely the resistible force against the movable object.
And the Patriots get a little break. Guard Jared Brown should be back. He's been out for a couple of
Jared games. Wilson, yes.
Jared Wilson.
Left guard, right. Left tackle still is Vidarian Lowe. Uh-oh, but – and I don't know what Bosa's health is because Bosa was
– Bosa returned to practice. So they're very optimistic there. So did Terrell Bernard. I think they're more optimistic about Bosa this week than Bernard.
Here's an interesting stat. We track at FTN on the FTN Stats Hub first read versus after the first read.
Oh, neat.
You want to force Drake May off his first read. He is fourth in DVOA when he's on his first read, and he is 25th when he is not on his first read. But you can't force him off it with the blitz, because guess who's the best quarterback in the league against the blitz? Drake May.
Wow. Wow. But that also speaks to a little bit of the help of the schedule. The first read's open. Diggs is open. Or sometimes it's Hollins or it's a pop, but they're open. And that's been helpful when you're playing weaker defenses.
Andrew Daly says the 11-2 Patriots being a home underdog means Vegas thinks they are a fraud. But them being a home underdog by 1 point means that Vegas also kind of thinks the Bills are a little bit of a fraud. Because guess who else has played an easy schedule this year?
The Bills.
Now, I've seen yesterday, I saw the line for this game where some books had it at Bills minus 1.5, and other mm-hmm. books had it at Patriots minus 1.5. So it's different books had different lines all floating around that 1 point either way. And I've mentioned this about the Patriots. The Patriots have beaten only one team in the top 12 of DVOA,
the Bills,
and that is Buffalo.
Yes.
And they play only one team in the top 12 in the rest of the season, and that is Buffalo. That's
Buffalo. Yeah, the house is seeing, Aaron, what is this, 11th versus 13th in DVOA? Bills are 11th.
Something like that, 14th, 11th versus 14th or something, yeah.
The house sees the same thing. They're not so much that they see a fraud versus a contender, but they see these teams with a relatively even portfolio right now, and the Bills probably having a stronger one overall.
And I think the same element of this quarterback could take over.
Yes.
May is more likely to take over with his arm and the deep throws than right. Allen would be with his legs.
Right.
But I think there is the same respect for May, who is he the MVP favorite right now, or he's second behind Stafford?
The real other. Close. Yeah, they're real close.
I mean, and obviously there's plenty of respect for Allen.
Yes.
And when you put the line in as Bills minus one, you end up with a projection of a tie. So the system is like, yeah, I don't know what to
right.
do with this.
Right.
I feel this game is very 50-50, which, I mean, listen, for the Patriots, mm-hmm. at the start of the season, if you had said you're going to play the Bills with the division on the line and it's going to be 50-50, man, that sounds awesome. So,
right.
And not to mention, if you lose this game, the Patriots, you still win the division 59% of the time. So yeah. It's not a must win, no. But it's very 50-50, and I don't know who's going to win this thing.
Feels more like a must win for the Bills, although they're kind of slotted.
Oh, it's absolutely. I mean, if the Bills right. lose, they lose the division.
They lose the division, and then they're in this wild card soup, and they're probably at the top of the wild card soup. I feel this is a Bills game because of that. Again, also because it feels like they're getting some of their silliness and some of their injuries behind them.
4 o'clock is, again, double header. We'll skip the Colts and Seahawks. So you're going to get both of these games in most of the country, and that is Packers, Broncos, and Lions, Rams. Let's start with the 9-3-1 Packers at the 11-2 Broncos. Both teams are in the playoffs pretty much. Packers get the one seed, 18% with a win and 1% with a loss. Broncos get the one seed, 70% with a win.
Whoa!
And 37% with the loss.
Entire
DVOA likes their schedule and their abilities better than the Patriots.
The entire AFC rooting for the Packers right now, so they don't have to go to Mile High. And we've just talked about the Patriots schedule. Second easiest schedule so far this season has belonged to the Denver Broncos.
Yep. Denver loves the man coverage. Can you guess the best quarterback in the league by DVOA against man coverage this year?
Would that be Jordan Love?
That would be Jordan Love.
Who has all these guys to throw to, so somebody probably can get schemed open.
And he's third in DYAR on deep passes of 16 or more air yards, and the Broncos are only 16th. As good as their defense is, that is a weakness. They have two weaknesses, deep passes and the right side of the field. And Jordan Love throws more to the right side of the field than the average quarterback and throws deep more than the average quarterback.
Broncos have a third weakness. It's keeping viewers awake when they're on offense, but we'll get into that in a minute. By the way, since we're doing stats, what team has the worst net penalty differential in the NFL and why, Aaron?
I'm guessing the answer is the Broncos because of Riley Moss.
That is both correct. I believe the number is -252 penalty yardage. Don't hold me to that. And it's mostly because of Riley Moss, who I believe leads the league like -178 penalty yards.
Yeah. The Packers do want to run less on first down than they have been. They're only 18th running on first. Okay. Now, when the Packers are on defense, they are primarily a zone team. Bo mm-hmm. Nix is 24th against zone, but 12th against man. So this is not a strength for Bo Nix.
That's passing, right? Not
that's passing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you sit there and make him throw a swing pass and tackle the guy. That's kind of it.
I mean, it doesn't. It's weird that the Broncos are so good because doesn't their offense just seem really? I mean, RJ Harvey's just been kind of there, and like Cortland Sutton like hasn't been like great, and like I mean, I guess there's like Troy Franklin and Patrick Turner. Is that his name? Like, it doesn't seem exciting. Great offensive line.
Great offensive.
Poke Brandon Thorne, and he'll tell you, loves watching this. That's someone who loves watching the Broncos offense.
Yeah, he's watching bowls in them. People were talking about Sports Info Solution did a thing about the Protector of the Year, which you get the vote for. The offensive line award, right?
No, I don't. Offensive protector of the year is voted for by a different group of former offensive linemen. It is not part of the AP awards.
Anyway, because I was about to...
two awards that are not part of the AP awards. Executive of the year, which Pro Football Writers does, but AP does not. And Protector of the Year, which is a committee of former actual linemen.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Anyway, I was going to advocate for Garrett Bowles. I'm sure the other linemen know who Garrett Bowles is. He's had a very good year. Knicks has a very low sack rate, which is one of the reasons why this sleep-inducing offense continues to sort of, you know, matriculate.
Ranked 13th in DVOA.
right. Harvey has come along. I've seen him, like, breaking tackles, ripping through tackles to make plays more recently. But it's not a fun watch by any stretch of the imagination.
I also looked up those first read stats. This is interesting. The Packers are second in the league in how often they force a quarterback off his first read. Oh. Hi, I'm Micah Parsons. Hello. Bo Nix, though, surprisingly, is seventh when forced off his first read. He's good. Obviously, scrambling around is a good thing for him, and then dumping it to Harvey or something.
I guarantee he's just taking a snap, looking downfield, like, I'm just going to throw a swing pass. So when you see him check down, it's like, oh, well, that was a completion. He was never actually looking down the field, guys.
Andrew Daly says, Christian Watson has been electric since returning from injury. Are Broncos especially susceptible to explosives from wide receivers?
Yes,
especially if you count a 30-yard DPI on Riley Moss as an explosive, which it kind of is.
Right. It's to the point where I'm not sure I would take, like, Watson props because, like, he could have the best game of the year. And it's like, it was only two catches for 20 yards, and then he forced two 60-yard penalties.
Gigantic DPIs that put the ball on the one-yard line. Yeah.
Right.
The line is Packers minus 2.5 in Denver. The system has no pick.
Oh, God. It's really hard.
In Denver,
yeah.
If I had to pick, I would pick the Broncos.
Broncos are 17-6 at home since 2023. Straight up, not against the spread. 17-6. Quick note, warm weather. In Denver, there's not going to be any weather.
The cold like we're getting in the Northeast. All the cold weather games are in the Northeast.
We're going to be freezing our frijoles off, and it's going to be like 55 degrees in Denver. I'm going to go with the Broncos with the home field advantage. Those of us who root for chaos, though, kind of want to see the Packers win and just cause more chaos with the AFC race.
Let's talk about the 8-5 Lions at 10-3 Rams. Lions make the playoffs 81% if they win, 51% if they lose. Rams are basically in. They make the one seed 55% if they win and 26% if they lose. This is the numbers 3 and 2 teams in DVOA, with some of the difference being special teams because the Rams special teams are bad. But the Rams are the number one offense. And there, here's the fun. They are the number one offense, both rushing and passing.
Wow.
And they are the number three defense, both against the run and the pass.
Consistent.
And they're the most consistent team in the league from a week-to-week, on a week-to-week basis.
There's a lot going on. By the way, folks, check out tomorrow at the Two Deep Zone. I have a little Rams stat pack where I'm going to talk about their net penalty differential, which is the best in the league. They've only had like 8 false starts all year. Which is one.
Yes, the Rams are very low in penalties this year. Very low.
And their injury totals, et cetera, some other things like that.
Both defenses are better against short passes than deep, which makes for fun watching. The Lions defense is 24th against deep and 6th against short. The Rams are 12th against deep and 4th against short, which means there could be some explosives, especially if Devontae Adams, and he is, I mean, he was limited in practice, but he is playing. 28th. Yep. The Lions are 28th against number one wide receivers and have all kinds of injuries in their secondary.
Right. I can't really go into all of them except that Terrion Arnold had season-ending surgery last week. Brian Branch had season-ending Achilles surgery a couple of days ago. I might be a little off on the dates. Both are out. Kirby Joseph may be back, though. That's a little bit of a help. Very good safety. He's been out for weeks and weeks. Could possibly stem the tide there a little bit in the Lions secondary.
I mentioned earlier that Drake May is the best quarterback in the league against the blitz by DVOA. Number two is Matthew Stafford. And we know the Lions like to blitz to overcome the fact that they don't have a great pass rush. I mean, I know Muhammad has a lot of sacks.
Yes.
But they don't have a great pass rush other than Aiden Hutchinson. So they do blitz a lot. And Stafford is very good against the blitz.
Very good against the blitz. They're also good at blitz avoidance there. If you've been watching Rams games lately, it's three tight ends all the time. But it's not the Steelers' weird three tight ends. It's like just a cool line with like all tight ends spread out, and then you get this running game up the middle, and you get all this extra protection for Stafford while Puka and Davante Adams, you know, do their thing.
Yes, as Iceman 6872 points out, the Rams love to use 13 personnel, but the Lions on defense like to stay in base.
Yeah.
So that is like the Lions are like, okay, we'll play basic.
Right. Yeah, we got to keep our bigs out there. We like our bigs. So, yeah, there is that.
Here's some more fun stats. Man and zone. Okay, Rams, primarily zone defense.
Okay.
Jared Goff, better against man.
Okay.
Lions, primarily a man defense. Matthew Stafford, number one against zone.
Interesting.
So for both quarterbacks, it's a little bit their weakness. Yeah. It's not like either of them is like second and 24th.
Right.
But both of them are better against the coverage that the other team doesn't generally play.
Right. I think for the Lions at this point, it's a little bit of what can we play, which is one of the things.
Well, that's where the blitzes come in, and that becomes a problem with Stafford.
Yes. Because he's going to beat you, and they're going to beat you one-on-one on the edge if you're going to blitz and you're just going to try to play man behind it.
Right. I mean, I still feel like the Rams, like the secondary has questions, the cornerbacks in particular, that there's questions about how good, but front seven. I mean, I don't know what the Lions are doing against that. And there's no Laporta now. And
Right. The front seven takes care of so much business for the Rams. And then the safeties have been good. So the corners, it's like, you can beat Forbes if you can get the pass off. And that's going to be a challenge for Goff. Again, Lions injury report with the offensive line. Everybody's kind of sort of practicing. All the stars are.
Yeah, Mahogany is coming back soon, but I don't know if it's this week.
No, there was like some miscommunication. Mahogany was kind of saying, I'm back. And Dan Campbell's like, we hope he's able to return soon. And Dan Campbell's the one who decides these things, folks.
Matthew Carley says, Rams running duo all day against the enormous Lions interior D-line. A bludgeoning big boy battle. And Blake Corum, by the way, has been coming on. They've actually been using more of a committee with Blake Corum and Kyron Williams in recent weeks.
Yep.
So the line is Rams minus 5.5.
For some reason, I feel the Lions in this.
Yeah, the system likes the Lions to cover.
Yeah. You get all those points, which is good.
A 5.5 is a good amount. It's in Los Angeles, but 5.5 is a good amount. I do think that the Lions are still a very good team. And even though despite their injuries, I like them to cover here because the line is so big. If the line was 3 or less, I think I would go Rams.
And it just feels like there's a little bit of air in the Rams. Not a lot. They're a great team, but there's a little bit of air in the Rams. And there's a little bit of air out of the Lions based on things that have happened earlier in the year.
Yeah. All right, briefly, let's do Sunday night. That is the 5-8 Vikings at the 6-6-1 Cowboys. The Cowboys are in the playoffs 15% of the time with the win, 2% of the time with the loss. And the Eagles, as you pointed out to me in email, play the Raiders this week.
Yeah.
So the Cowboys obviously really need to win this one. The Vikings, I will say the Cowboys' defense has been better in recent weeks in that they are like 30th instead of 32nd.
Right. They had they made it up to 24th, and then the Lions game happened.
They are the worst defense in the league against passes up the middle, and in his limited amount of time, J.J. McCarthy has been better up the middle than to the sides.
Yes, they get the play-action passes into Hockenson and guys cutting across the middle of the field.
Also point out the Vikings play more zone than any other defense in the league, even the Cowboys.
Wow. Okay.
And Dak is only 15th against zone compared to 4th against man.
And you're going to see, obviously, a lot of Brian Flores stuff. C.D. Lamb, by the way, is moving through concussion protocol on pace. He's practicing on pace to possibly play on Sunday night. Obviously, a big difference maker for the Cowboys.
Andrew Daly says, I believe teams underperformed significantly after shutting out a previous opponent. That is a trend that I am not aware of. But yes, obviously the Vikings had a shutout last week.
Right, which feels like unsustainable result. Let's be clear.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not, right.
I mean, what the real unsustainable result was J.J. McCarthy playing really well.
Right.
Because
right,
I'll give some credit to Mina Kimes for pointing this out on her podcast, but the way the Washington defense works, it's like you just hit your first read over and over again. So all O'Connell had to do was give McCarthy the answers to the test, and McCarthy would just it was the perfect defense for McCarthy to not suck against.
The answers
the Cowboys to the first, are a bad defense, but in not in quite the same way.
Right. It's the answers to the first 10 questions of the test, because then Mariota's in the game and you have this Commanders team that is going like this and you're handing off and hitting quick play action shots.
I mean, this is a real battle of strength and strength, weakness and weakness, right? The offense, the Cowboys offense and the Vikings defense both ranked 9th.
Yes.
The Vikings offense is 29th and the Cowboys defense is 31st. The Cowboys defense has been slightly better recently. The Vikings offense is slightly better. If you take out the Brosmer game, they still both suck.
Yes.
The Cowboys are favored by 6 at home.
Mm.
And there's definitely, if you believe in like a who needs it more, the Cowboys need it. The Vikings, who cares?
Cowboys need it. If you just look at it and say, you know, do you feel like the bounce butt from McCarthy last week was fluky? Yeah. Do you feel like the Cowboys are fluky where they are? I don't feel like they're fluky where they are now. They're an explosive team that's a little better than it was earlier in the season.
Yeah, the system likes the Vikings plus 6, but I kind of like the Cowboys minus 6 from a subjective point of view of sort of where these teams are and strengths and weaknesses. I feel kind of like, yeah, Dak isn't as good against zone, but I feel like the Cowboys, McCarthy's just not good. And even though the Cowboys defense is bad, and I think that in Dallas that the Cowboys can win this.
Cowboys start hitting with that 5-man defensive front that they use, start getting pressure up the middle, start doing some of the things that Commanders weren't able to do in that game. And I think this could get weird fast. By the way, best thing about this game from my standpoint, don't have to cover it. Not that important.
Yes, get to go to bed early on Sunday.
Get to go to bed a little earlier. I'm not going to be up until 1:30 in the morning checking the game
book. But you have to cover Monday because it's going to be the Steelers against the Frisky Dolphins. It's a real game.
I'm not covering. I'm doing mailbag.
Frisky Dolphins, frisky. They're frisky. 1-5 of their last 6. We'll talk about that on Monday, of course.
We will preview it, certainly.
All right, that does it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching. And tell your friends about the show, rate and review. You know, the stuff we say at the end of every show. Use FTN Stats Hub. We've got lots of stats for you. Use Mike Tenier's Substack. He's got lots of writing for you. Check out the Pittsburgh piece. If you don't read Mike's Substack regularly, I believe that the Pittsburgh piece is free.
It's free.
So read about what is going on with the Steelers in Mike's eyes at miketenier.substack.com. That does it for today's show. We will be back Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern to review this weekend and talk about the Steelers and the Frisky Dolphins. Talk to you then, folks.